The message this morning is rather ambitious, and in that we're trying to cover the last verses of Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 32. And I want to read from these verses to help us to get the setting. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever or for the ages. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was fit or meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that is the deeper knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient or fit, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and the list goes on. And I'm going to skip down to verse 32 and pick up the conclusion of these sins that are listed here. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, that is, thanatos death, that is, soul death, the loss of rewards, the loss of honor and glory in His coming kingdom, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now the question that I ask myself is, why would someone who knew these truths would hold down the truth and be able to get involved in these sins? How can this happen? Why would this happen? I know that in reading this, we often think, and this is the common teaching of this, is that the sin of homosexuality is involved in this. And I personally do not think that that's what is the point is here, and I hope that I can convey that to all of us. In other words, why did this happen? Why did these things come about? It says in verse 28 of Romans 1, and even as they did not like to retain God in their deeper knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fit, being filled with all unjustness. That is, they were totally disobedient, because being unjust is to be disobedient. And this word unrighteousness is the word unjust. And so they were full of it. Why did all of this happen? They knew some things. They suppressed what they knew. And it created or caused them to behave in a certain manner in the long run. I don't think this has happened instantly. It seemed like to me that they knew certain things. They began to suppress certain truth. And it created an attitude in their heart. And I'm talking about Bible teachers. I'm not talking about necessarily those in the pew or those in the class. Those that are in the pew encourage them. Those in the classroom encourage them to continue this vein of thought. So, verse 32 tells us that they knew the consequences of this behavior, and yet they did it anyway. It says, in who knowing the judgment of God, and that, in other words, knowing the just judgment of God, that they which commit such things, and this word commit is in the present tense, so they are practicing these things, and that are worthy of death, and it's worthy of soul death, worthy of losing your inheritance, worthy of losing positions of honor and glory in His coming kingdom. That word death is thanatos. Not only do the same, and again the word do is in the present tense, so they continue to do the same, okay? But they have pleasure, or a better way of looking at that or translating, they continue to think well of them that are doing these things. Because that's who they're talking. That's who he's talking about. To have pleasure in them that do, and that is also in the present tense. In other words, it has to do with practicing these things. In other words, we don't normally practice sin right off the bat. We grow into practicing sin because the longer we allow ourselves to do things that are not pleasing to God, our conscience becomes seared. Our hearts become hardened. And then it's not long that we are justifying ourselves in doing the things that we enjoy doing and we want to do. And so it takes a little time for this to evolve in our life, and we need to be warned about it. And yet these people did not resist living this lifestyle. Romans 1:18 tells us, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unjustness of men who hold down the truth in unjustness. You live an unjust life, you're gonna hurt the testimony of the truth. Now, the truth has to do with the coming kingdom, and hopefully I will show you that in just a second. These that are holding down the truth, that is, truths pertaining to the coming kingdom. In other words, what they're doing is they're teaching against that truth. They're like those lawyers in Luke 11:52, where Jesus says, woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves. In other words, you're not going to enter the kingdom yourself. And not only that, he continues on, and them that were entering in, you're hindering. So people who are holding down the truth are hindering other people from entering the kingdom themselves. Because these people are no dummies. These people are renowned that are teaching against kingdom truth. They have the titles. And we'll see, and hopefully you can see that as we move along. Let me just point out right off the bat, this passage is not dealing with homosexuality. This is talking about something else entirely different. Because Paul told the church at Corinth, and he told the church told Timothy about the sin of homosexuality in one Greek word. He didn't have to go in and explain all the passion and all that stuff. When you find out that the one Greek word that deals with homosexuality has man cohabiting in a bed. And there's no question about this. This doesn't even use that word. That word's not even found in this passage of Scripture. So I believe that this is dealing with something different from that than from that sin. And I hope I can share this with you. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, we find out that the truth is learned through the hope of glory is learned through the word of the truth. Colossians 1:5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The truth pertains to the hope. What is the hope of a Christian? It's the hope of glory. It's the hope of ruling and reigning with Christ. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of the glory. That's what the truth reveals. In John 16:13. Howbeit when the Spirit of truth, the truth, is come, He will guide you in all the truth, and He will show you things to come. The truth has to do with things that are coming. And when you read in Hebrews, it's good things that are coming. Just like the blessing of Jacob's and his sons, he blessed them concerning things to come. I believe that's it's in Hebrews 11. And I hope I have that correct. I'm teaching off the cuff and I need to stick with the notes. Now, so they're teaching against the truth. They're holding down the truth. Now, what happens when you hold down the truth? Well, in 2 Peter 2:2, it says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." The word pernicious comes from the word perishing. There are going to be many who will follow these false teachers' teaching that will lead to perishing. By reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And the phrase evil spoken of is one word, one Greek word. You know what it is? Blasphemy. What is blasphemed? The truth. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, it talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one... Well, we just got through reading about it. The Holy Spirit is the one who is teaching the truth. And there are those false teachers that are teaching against the truth. They're holding down the truth of the kingdom. And so in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, it says, "Whosoever speaks against the Son of Man, it should be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against or blasphemes the Holy Ghost, the teacher of the truth, the Spirit of truth, it shall not be forgiven him." I don't care how much you repent or how much you beg forgiveness. It's just like what God did with Moses. Moses messed up. And God said, "You're not going in," and drop the subject. You can't pray about it anymore. You're not going in, period. Okay? "It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age," the church age, "neither in the one coming." That is the age to come. And what is the age that's coming? The millennial age. You can't repent and be forgiven of that sin in this age. And you will have to suffer the consequences of it in the age to come. You teach against the truth. You hold down the truth. Now, why would anybody want to do that knowing the judgment of God? And these people did it. They knew the judgment of God. Because we got through reading that in the last part, or in Romans 1:32. They knew that the people that do such things, they're going to suffer the Thanatos death. Okay? Now, back in verse 19 of Romans 1. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," that is, those that hold down the truth, "for God showed it unto them," and who is them in this case? It's those that are holding down the truth. In other words, God is teaching them. God is showing them things. Now, they had the knowledge. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge," that is, the deeper knowledge, and these men have the deeper knowledge of the Lord and of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "they again entangle therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." In other words, here they are. They've come into this knowledge of the truth. They've accepted it. It has produced fruit in their life, and then they turn away from it. They turn away. And there's a reason for turning away from it. Obviously, or they wouldn't have done it. And hopefully I can share that with you in just a few minutes. It goes on in verse 21, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Now this is talking about the false prophets in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Because this is dealing with the false teachers. Okay? So, God is revealing these things to them, and yet it does not totally change their life, at least in the end of their life. Okay? Now, back to Romans 1 in verse 20. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." In other words, if you look around the world, you're going to see invisible things by the things that you see here. In other words, what's around us? It's in the heavenlies. Remember the tabernacle? Where did Moses get the blueprints from the tabernacle? The invisible tabernacle in heaven. Okay? So you can see what it's like in heaven. There is a mercy seat in heaven. There is the blood of Jesus Christ is on the mercy seat in heaven. And there's the Holy of Holies in the heavenlies. Well, the things that are made here on the earth, they are a shadow or a picture of things that are in the heavens. So, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The invisible things being understood by the things that are made, that is, the visible things. You want to understand the invisible things? You can get a grasp of those things by looking at the visible things, okay? And those invisible things has to do with His eternal power and Godhead. Godhead has to do with authority. Eternal power, or power for the ages, has to do with a heavenly kingdom. So that they are without excuse. Now, how do I relate this to what we have today? What are the visible things that we can see today that will help us understand that there are kingdoms in the heavenlies? Well, in Colossians 1:16 it says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things that are created by Him and for Him." When you see kingdoms around the world today, you know what? I can appreciate there are going to be kingdoms. There is a kingdom of the heavens. The rule of the heavens over the earth. And I think that these that are teaching or holding down the truth were able to see that there is going to be a kingdom by the things that they see around them today. Now, Romans 1:21 tells us that because that when they knew God, they, that is, those that are holding down the truth, glorified Him not as God. The word glorified can also be translated honor. They honored Him not as their judge. I think that this is a better way of looking at the word God here, as their judge. Because what happens is this. For people to come from the truth and turn away from the truth, something has to change. And what changes is the fear of God is lost. When a Christian loses the fear of God, then there is no limit to what he is capable of doing. When you feel like you can get away with living in sin, If you can get away with it, you're going to try it. And then it gets to be a habit, you know. And what they do is they don't want to read that verse where it says, be sure your sins will what? Find you out. Your sins are going to catch you. You better quit them. Now, not all sins are going to find you out. Because when you confess sin and repent of sin, takes care of that, nearly. Now, there may be times, you know, if you kill somebody or hold up a bank, you may have some other consequences to pay. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. The sins of thought can be dealt with in private. Now, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And the word imaginations here is can also be translated purpose. Their purpose became vain. Their plans, their purposes, their pursuits became empty. Who are these people? These are the people that are holding down the truth. Okay? And it says their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, what happens, I believe, is that you have a certain level of our knowledge, level of knowledge of the Scriptures, and you start turning away from them, then your thoughts are become darkened. What you learned is going to be lost and forgotten. And so we need to appreciate the fact that their foolish hearts were darkened. And a foolish heart is a heart that you know. When I think about a fool says in his heart there is no God. Paul was mentioning it last Sunday after service. He says, a fool says in his heart, there is no judge. There is no judgment. And that's what you're saying. When there is no God, I don't have to give an account. I won't have to be accountable. In Job 28:28, it says, unto a man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So when you think about a man's heart being becoming purpose being vain and his foolish heart darkened, what happens is he loses his understanding of what's the next step. The fear of God will cause us to do what? Depart from evil. Quit behaving unjustly. Then in verse 22 of Romans 1, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they, that is, those that are holding down the truth, became fools. In other words, they began to live like there was no God. They thought they were wise. In fact, you know, when I think about the wise, I think about these are educated ones. Okay? In Psalms 14:1, it says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God or judge. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That is those that does not have the fear of God in his judge in his heart. In other words, those are the ones that are going to be doing no good. But they are corrupt. They do abominable works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolishness of foolish the wisdom of this world? In other words, what I'm seeing in these verses here in Romans 1 are where I'm looking at the intelligentsia, the ones who have the educational experiences, background. These are the ones who have the PhDs. These are the ones who have something to lose by teaching the truth. You know what you will lose by teaching the truth? You will lose your reputation. You will not have big crowds. You will not go to many meetings, so to speak. I think this is what we're seeing in these verses here. Is men that are holding down the truth, that want to be accepted by whom? Their peers. They're wise, and because they are wise and what they have done to gain that wisdom, they have something to lose. So what has God done? He has made foolish the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 19 and 20. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wisdom of in their He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise; they are vain. I just listened to these documentaries on TV, and it's amazing the ones that they bring in that are so to speak scholars. They're just simply tearing down everything that the Bible has to say, and there are no scholars. It's all opinion. And you know what? That can happen in Christian circles as well. We have scholars in Christian circles, and sometimes their wisdom is vain. Okay? Now, so they profess themselves to be wise. In other words, this is their own attitude. They have the wisdom. And the ones in the pew, they don't have it. When I first came up here, back in 82, I was having some fellowship with the pastors in a church group, okay, their association. And I was telling them how I was teaching the man in the pew how to study for themselves in Greek and Hebrew without having to learn the disciplines of the language. He says, "You're making a mistake teaching people how to study for themselves." You know what that is? That's Nicolaitanism. That is the men in the pulpit lording over those in the pew. And I think that those that are wise want to lord it over the people in the pew. And so he was telling me that I was not doing the right thing. You don't teach people how to study. Well, I know the reason why he said that, because he didn't want anybody asking him questions that he couldn't answer and defend on his own. And I just let the thing go, let it drop. Now, in Romans 1:23, it says, "And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beast, and creeping things." It says He changed the glory. The word glory here was used before, and it has to do with the honor. He changed the honor of the incorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man. I think what this is saying, man has taken the honor of the incorruptible God and brought Him down to His own level. In other words, they're teaching that God is your buddy, and you don't do that. There are people today, and particularly their kids, that want their parents to teach them like their buddies. And that is wrong. You cannot do that. You've got to have authority and respect for authority. Otherwise, what does it say? When you are to honor your parents, how do you honor your peers? You just do what they do, you know. Well, you honor your parents, you respect them, you look up to them, and I think that this is what this verse is saying. They've changed the honor of God and lowered it to the honor of man. And further, it even goes on even lower than that. I don't understand that, how he can bring the honor of God down to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know, that's just lowering the image of God. They've lost respect for Him. And that's what will allow a man to do the things that are mentioned in this passage of Scripture. Now, it says that they became unclean in verse 24. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. And by the way, the word gave them, the word gave is translated put in prison. God put them in prison. Those that were unclean. I mean, when you put a man in prison, he ain't getting out until God wants him out. Anyway, and it's through the lust to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Well, people want to say that this is a homosexual situation, but I really think that it's more of what's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, and into 2 Corinthians 7, 1, has to do with relationships of people who are having fellowship, and you gotta do that in your body. You can't have fellowship in the spirit. In other words, if you gotta be there, okay? Now I'm gonna read this. Be not unequally yoked together with those of no faith. Don't be unequally yoked together with those that aren't pleasing God. You can't have fellowship with them. For what fellowship hath righteousness or right living with unjust living? If you're going to have fellowship with somebody who's unjust, you know what you've got to do? You've got to lower your standards. And when you lower your standard, you become unclean, just like they are. And what communion has light with darkness? Their foolish hearts were darkened. Why? Because they were trying to have fellowship with darkness. Let's continue. And the word darkness has to do with error. In other words, they began to accept error. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or the faithless? The word believeth is the faithful. And the word concord, by the way, it has to do with a symphony. In other words, a symphony all plays together. You know, when you're in a symphony orchestra, and I played in the orchestra when I was in school, while they were playing Mozart, I sure wasn't playing Bach. Doing my own thing, you know. So here they are. You're in the group. You got to do what the director says, okay? And of course, the director often is Belial. Okay, let's go on. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And what is the temple of God? Our bodies. Okay? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, that is, the unclean. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. Touching has to do with the bodies. That's really why I'm associating it with the passage of Scripture in Romans. Verse 24. Dishonor their own bodies between themselves by trying to have fellowship with others. He says, if you will come out from them and be clean, he says, I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God, or the Lord Almighty. And so what do we need to be doing? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. In other words, what that's saying is that you need to be careful who you try to have fellowship with, because it will change your life. It's not that you can't go in among those that are unclean. Jesus did that when he was among the lepers and so forth. But the point is this. You don't want to let the leper change your life. Okay? Now, in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, or the lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. In other words, these that are holding down the truth, who are they servants of? They are the servants of men. They moved away from being the servants of God, and they became the servants of men. Men that were influencing their life so that they became unclean. That's the point. Okay? So, when they were changing the truth of God into the lie, and that's holding down the truth, what is the lie? The lie is that you will not perish. Passage of scripture we looked at last Sunday, Genesis 3:3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Now this is Eve doing what? She's adding to what God said. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He just told Adam, you can't eat it. Eve embellished it. And that's the problem with women Bible teachers. They love to embellish. And sometimes the embellishment brings error. And I'm not... And Eve knew that if she ate the tree, she would die. It's Thanatos death. And of course the serpent told her, the serpent said unto her, unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He just totally refuted or contradicted what God told him. Oh, you're not going to surely die. And the word not here is not me in the Greek and the Septuagint. It's O-U. That's an emphatic. Satan was emphatic. You're not going to die if you disobey God. Now, I know we're talking about Eve dying spiritually, and Adam and Eve did, and so did everyone in the human race, but this is talking about losing their dominion over the earth. This is what this is talking about, and they did lose that dominion. Now, in verse 26, it says, for this cause, Romans 1:26, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, something happened because of the teaching against the truth that put them in prison so that they became vile, less than honorable. Their feelings began to take charge, and they brought in the women, and they changed the women's use, natural use, into that which is against nature. Now, I don't think that the women's use is that of gratifying man. That's not the natural use of a woman. Now, it's part of the what a wife will do, and it works both ways. The natural use of the woman has to do with her ministry. And we'll see that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 through 15, Paul says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Eve was deceived by Satan. And I don't understand this. Women can be deceived, and they have a natural bent on being able to deceive the man, because that's what happened. That's what she got deceived, and she got Adam involved too. Okay? Now, and because she was deceived, Paul says a woman's not to usurp authority over a man, nor to teach men. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue pleasing God and love and holiness with sobriety. This is the natural use of a woman to me. What is her use? Childbearing. Caring for the home. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. They teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that what? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Isn't that something? You put a woman in the wrong place in a teaching situation over men, the word of God is going to be blasphemed. And it's the truth will be blasphemed, because the word of God pertains to the truth. And in Matthew chapter 13:33, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole kingdom message was what? Leavened. Error. A woman did it. Okay? Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err. I think that's what this passage in Romans is saying, is that these men who are wise in their own eyes have brought in women to be teachers, personally, and it has created error. Okay. Now I'm going back to Romans 1:27. I know that I'm just about out of time, but I'm just about out of pages too. Okay. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working with that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, not their sin, error. Okay? It's not, the word sin's not there. It's error. They're made an error, which was fit for what they were doing. And I don't think it was a homosexual relationship, and I put the verse in here in 1 Corinthians 6:9 that gives you the word, the Greek word, that has to do with homosexuality. If Paul wanted to talk about homosexuality in Romans 1, all he needed was one word. That's all. Not a bunch of verses, okay? Now, what was this lust going on between men? Well, I think it's in Matthew 23, verses 5 through 7. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the upper rooms in the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. You know, how would you feel if I got me one of these long robes with velvet stripes on my sleeve and a thing to go around my neck with all kinds of crosses and all that stuff on there? You remember when I first came up here, we were downstairs and we were talking, and somebody says, "What are we supposed to call you?" Remember that? I know Mrs. Anderson does. I said, "Well, in Chattanooga, they call me, huh?" Okay. "In Chattanooga, they call me Bishop." Shame on me is right. I confess my sin right away. Anyway, these guys wanted to be recognized, and the price of being true to the truth would cost them. What? It would cost them the chief rooms, the chief seats, the upper rooms, the greetings in the marketplace, and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. You know what that is? Doctor, doctor. Can you imagine hearing somebody say that so-and-so in his name, and Larry will be speaking this morning in the services. And I'm using a term, Larry, because I don't want anybody to... In other words, instead of saying, "Dr. Sounding Brass will be speaking in the morning service," you know. Well, they want to be called rabbi, rabbi, doctor, doctor. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." You know what that's called? Professional peer pressure. Lest they should be what? Put out of the synagogues. Not included. Not invited. For they love the praise of whom? Men. More than the praises of God. Peer pressure.